So I've just been the youth minister for not even a year yet, but I have had a blast preparing lessons and hanging out with these kids. I've been truly impressed with our youth group and our kids, and I've absolutely loved it. And so I wanted to preach today on how God uses young people. So throughout the Bible, God uses young people to carry out his will. And we're just reading what we just read in Colossians 3:17, it says, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And that should be the desire of all of us as Christians, being used by God to do his will and spread his love. And we've given Christ our life, and now we look for him to be able to use us. And so even those who aren't Christians commit themselves to something, whether it's sports or arts or academics. And those aren't bad things to dedicate yourselves to, just as long as we as Christians can also use those things to spread God's love. And above all else, we need to dedicate ourselves to God. And so I wanted to talk about one Bible character in particular that had a heart dedicated to God. And I'm sure the youth group's tired of me talking about David, but because that's what we've been going through on Wednesdays for the past 8 weeks. But I want to go through a few of David's stories when he was young and just how God was developing him at a young age to be a warrior king and to fulfill God's purpose. So the world is full of many rags-to-riches stories. It's filled in our movies, and we love seeing those stories. We see where people started and then where they end up and the accomplishments that they've made, and we honor these people, and we look up to them. But oftentimes, we forget about that middle part, or we don't notice it. We see what they've been able to achieve, but we don't see necessarily the hard work that was put in, maybe even obstacles or difficulties that they had to go through. And it's the same thing with God as he's developing us. Sometimes we might have to go through difficulties and tough situations in order to get to where we want to be, to where God needs us to be. And so a lot of times a person might be ignored or have to do a servant type role, but it's all part of God's plan to make us into the person that he needs us to be. He is working in all of us to be someone that can be used by him. And David came from very humble beginnings, yet God saw his heart and called him to serve as king. For some backstory on his beginnings, there's three main characters in 1 Samuel. And so our first character is King Saul, who was the first king over Israel. And he started off with God, but then very quickly started going away. So God rejected him as king in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Our second character is Samuel, who was the prophet and the leader of Israel before Saul. He was actually one that anointed Saul as king. But he wasn't just a seer or a prophet. He was also a judge and a leader over Israel. And so he was highly respected and most likely highly feared as well, just because of his authority. And of course, our third character is David, who at the time is a boy, not well known at all. He is he is the eighth son of Jesse. He lives in Bethlehem, a small farming town, as a little shepherd boy, and he's from the tribe of Benjamin, the smallest tribe. But it's funny how God uses these people who might be overlooked or ignored to carry out his will. And so I wanted to start off in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, when God is telling Samuel, "I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." So God had rejected King Saul because he was going away from God's commands. And so God tells Samuel, "I want you to go to Jesse and make this sacrifice. Invite Jesse and his sons, and I will show you which of his sons that I have selected to be the next king." And so Samuel goes down to Bethlehem, and you can just imagine those leaders and the townsfolk almost being a little afraid, or like, what's going to happen? Samuel's coming into town. He called Jesse and his sons over. And so Jesse and his sons consecrate themselves, meaning they put on clean clothes and they wash up, and it's more of like a ritual cleansing because they're going to this sacrifice that they've been invited to. And they want to impress Samuel as well, because he's the former judge and one of the leaders of Israel. And so they all show up, and So Samuel meets with each brother one by one, but God says, no, not him, not him. He gets down through all the sons, and God hasn't said yes to any of the sons. And so Samuel asks Jesse, the father, do you have any others? And almost as an afterthought, ignored, he says, well, David, the boy, he's out in the fields. I guess that's the last son I have. So they bring David in. And so I imagine David being smelling like dirty sheep, being all dusty and sweaty. He shows up to this sacrifice. And so I think it's important to note that he's not consecrated. And so because he is already consecrated in God's eyes. In verse 7, it reads, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God looks on the inside, where man looks on the outside. And multiple times throughout the Bible, we're told that what sets David apart is that his heart is wholly committed to the Lord's will. And so Samuel sees David, and God tells him, this is the one. This is going to be the next king. And so he is anointed, and immediately, in verse 13, David is filled with the Holy Spirit. Something supernatural happened. The Holy Spirit comes in power on David as he was anointed. And the English Standard Version says that the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. So this must have been a surprise for David and his brothers, and Jesse, because maybe not fully understanding what was happening. David was the baby. He was almost treated as a servant because he was out in the fields being a shepherd. But the Lord was preparing David at this point to be anointed, to be selected by king, to go from this humble shepherd boy to a mighty warrior king that he was preparing him for. And so David was already a boy of integrity and courage, but now God adds his spirit to David. And David begins to shine and be noticed. So at this time, Saul starts being tormented and having these fits. And so he calls his servants, because Saul no longer has the spirit of the Lord with him. The spirit is with David now. And so he's being tormented, and he asks one of the servants, and even his servant in verse 18, this reads, one of the servants answered, I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre or the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. So David's recognition quickly gets him favor and promotion in the service of King Saul. King Saul likes him, and he's soothed by David's playing, and so he keeps inviting him back every time he feels bad. And soon David even rises up to become one of King Saul's armor bearers, which might not seem like, it's still kind of a servant role, so it might not seem like a big deal, but really, looking back, this is all part of God's plan to train David, preparing him to be the future king. So now, without even David trying hard, just because he's been following God, he is now raised up. He is in the king's court, able to learn almost like a fly on the wall what it means to be a king, maybe even meeting generals and military people that were coming in, as well as seers. So David is getting this like firsthand experience, just being in Saul's service. And even just this far, David hasn't said a word yet, but we can see his progression already, from this humble shepherd to being selected, to then being anointed, to have the Spirit of God being empowered. And now this humble shepherd finds favor with the king, and he gets to be in the service of the king. And so David really was treated more like a servant in his youth, but he was chosen by God, and God had planned for David great things. And David even recognized this. And I imagine him in the fields as he was being a shepherd, writing these psalms. A lot of the psalms were written by David. And I wanted to read one in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so what's truly impressive is David's humility. Not once do we read that he tried to raise himself up or call attention to himself, which is completely opposite of King Saul. Whenever Samuel was confronting Saul after he was disobeying God, Saul was in the middle of building a statue of himself and taking treasures that he was told not to keep. And so just you can see Saul throughout 1 Samuel getting more and more prideful and big-headed. And it's the opposite of how David acts. And so David never promoted himself, yet he was still recognized by both God and man. Without even promoting himself, he was still recognized as the Lord being with him and lifted up and promoted in the king's court. And so I think the lesson there is it is so much better to be promoted by God than to be recognized and promoted by man. And this leads us to the second story I wanted to go into. So this was David's selection and anointing. And I wanted to talk about probably one of the most famous stories in the Bible about David and Goliath. Most people are probably familiar with this story, even if you didn't grow up in the church, just because it's one of those great stories that everybody knows. But to quickly summarize, the Israelites and the Philistines are standing against each other, the armies. And Goliath, this 9 foot tall, a hulk of a man with this armor that weighs more than David, marches out and challenges someone from the Israelite army to a one-on-one match. And they said, whatever man loses, that army is going to be our servants, and vice versa. And the Israelites are terrified. They don't want anything to do with it. And so David, at this time, he's still serving his dad. He is in the fields being a shepherd, taking care of his sheep. I imagine him using this time to pray and worship and just get closer and closer to God. Because by this time, he gets to the front lines because his dad sent him there to take food and to check on his brothers. That's another note. David's brothers are in the army, but David's still too young or is just dedicated to his work and taking care of his responsibilities at home. So he goes and he takes food and checks on his brothers. And he happens to be there whenever Goliath is challenging someone. And David looks around. He's like, are we really going to be afraid of this guy when God is with us? David is filled with God's spirit and starts going from person to person saying, really, is no one going to challenge this man? Nobody will stand up, even though God is on our side. Saul hears about this and calls David in. And in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting in verse 31, when David's words were overheard and reported to Saul, Saul called for him. And David said to Saul, don't let anyone be discouraged. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. But Saul replied to David, you aren't able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're just a boy. He has been a warrior from his youth. And David replies to Saul, your servant has been a shepherd in his father's flock. Whenever a lion or bear would come and carry off a sheep from the flock, I would go out after it, strike it down, and rescue the sheep from its mouth. If it rose up against me, I would grab it by its jaw, strike it, and kill it. Your servant has struck down both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. David went on to say, the Lord who delivered me from the lion and the bear will also deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, go, the Lord be with you. So really, these verses tell us just as much about Saul as they do David. Saul is essentially Israel's version of Goliath. He's head and shoulders taller than everyone. He's good looking and he's strong and he's the king. Yet he doesn't want to go out and face Goliath. He is fearful despite knowing God is on their side, even though he's gone astray. And so he is willing to speak to literally anyone who is willing to go up against Goliath, even if it's this little boy he hears talking in the crowd. And so he calls him in and David says, I have experience. I have experience fighting these beasts, these bears and lions. And I think it's important for us to notice how David phrases this. He says, whenever a lion or bear would come and carry off a sheep, he would go after it. David's not saying one time he fought a bear and one time he fought a lion. He's saying multiple times whenever bears or lions would attack, he would fight them off. And so we can see that in his years of shepherding, God was preparing him through these experiences for this moment to face Goliath. And so I picture myself in David's place. If I was in the fields tending to sheep and playing the harp, if I was anointed by Samuel, I'd be thinking about his words and maybe even praying, but then a bear attacks, which is terrifying. And I would go out and fight it, and the Lord delivers it into David's hands. So you think, okay, that was weird. And so he keeps playing. And then sooner or later, a lion comes and attacks, which is more terrifying. And so he fights that one off, and this keeps happening over and over. And if it were me, I would keep imagining, I thought I was just anointed. I'm supposed to be the future king, so why am I under attack? Why am I having to fight these things off? I thought God was supposed to protect me. But David recognizes that it was the Lord putting him through these situations. He didn't know what he was being prepared for, but he trusted that God would deliver him. And so God protected him through this time. And in reality, God was preparing David for this battle with Goliath. And so by the time David gets to the front lines and hears Goliath, he knows, this is what God was preparing me for. Do we ever get like that in our daily lives? We might think about our difficulties or struggles, these lions or bears attacking us and saying, I'm trying to do the right thing, I'm praying, I'm serving, but why am I still having to deal with these struggles and difficulties? Well, instead of thinking it like that, I encourage us to think about it as God developing us for something in the future. We might not know what it is, but he's planning and preparing us for us to take on our Goliath, for our moment. And so we might not realize that God is putting us through things, but we can be confident that he will always be with us and is preparing us for the works that he has planned. Excuse me. The youth probably has this verse memorized by now, but in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So as God is preparing us, I also think it's important for us to remember that how we serve today is just as important as what we'll be doing in the future. What David was doing in the fields as a shepherd defined him as a king. It was those moments when he was young, maybe even being ignored, treated as a servant going out in the fields, even being treated as a servant with Saul, the king. Those moments completely defined him as a king. And God was able to use him. In the same way David trusted in God, he can look back and see that God was preparing him for this. And so when we come to trust in Jesus, the one who died for our sins and was raised from the dead, then we'll be able to look back on our life and say, God was preparing me to carry out his will. He was preparing us from the time we were born for the works that he has prepared for us. If you believe in Jesus, then God has been preparing you for a purpose. He has been leading you to follow him. And so instead of viewing those lions and bears as negatives, view them as these moments that God is testing you and molding you, turning you into the man or woman that he needs you to be. If you're a young person who has trusted in Jesus, God is already working in your life. Learn to trust him and carry out your responsibilities dutifully and faithfully, no matter how humbling or demeaning they might be, for how you act now will define you in your future. This will prepare you for the days ahead and the calling that God has in your life. Be careful about the decisions that you make and the habits that you form, as all of these will follow you as you become adults. And godly disciplines will prepare you for the challenges that God has. Recognize that God is already at work in your life, preparing you for his will. And God's way of developing leaders doesn't happen in a classroom or a lecture or a TED talk. It happens outside these walls, outside the church building, in your everyday life. That's how he develops people. He might put them in difficult and challenging circumstances to deepen our trust in Jesus and to strengthen our commitment to him. God's development involves becoming a servant and suffering sometimes. But God is not as interested in our outward appearance as he is in our hearts. So let's look to him to make us men and women who are people after God's own heart. And graduates, the God that was with David is the same God that is with you. God has been preparing you for his works, And now it's up to you to follow in David's footsteps and wholly dedicate your hearts to God.